Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, all are coming to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. So may God bless his word this morning and bring some encouragement to you and I as men. Can somebody give me an amen? So in this text, and I know many times we'll reread the Gospel of John, but in your mind, you've got to kind of lace this. This is just a brief period where the ministries of John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ are overlapping, okay? So both of them are involved in public ministry. They're overlapping a little bit. Jesus preaching and with the disciples, they're preaching at the same time, right? And so the first thing we want to look at is the blessing of being chosen. We could all sit back and just exude all the testosterone we want to. Okay, I know we're manly men. I know we stand up to pee. You can delete that if that's recorded. But I'm telling you, there is a joy in being chosen. There is something human inside of us. Something inside just smiles when we know we're actually wanted. That we're not just taking up space. We're not just filling in some kind of a gap. There's something about being wanted that makes you feel really good, right? And it, to a point, makes us feel a little bit secure. Now, just some notes I threw down. This could be true in a sports team. This could be true at your job. But I think especially this can be true in church as we function as men of God. There's something about being wanted. Because I'm thinking this through. When you love someone, literally, or as a man, you like someone as a friend, what you're saying is, you know, I want you as my friend. I want you, as it were, on my team. And I'm just thinking, you know, last night and then this morning, you know, Jeannie with all of her coughing and hacking and bronchitis going on, and, you know, I'm still thinking, man, of all the men in the world, she chose me. It does something. There's something that sets that apart. And so, what are you saying, brother? Well, thanks for asking. Despite what might be the current trend, I don't know. But real salvation is God choosing us. I mean, this is something that's very, very heady. This is something that's very, very encouraging. Because in a very real sense, when you and I are offered the gift of salvation, God is saying, I want you. I want you to be part of my team. I want you to be part of my will and my plan in these last days, right? We've got several brothers in our fellowship. Some of the names slip me. The hair goes with the memory. But I know Brent Tremblay was a hockey player that was called up to the majors. And we've got the guy in Santa Monica, Rob Scribner. You know, people that were called up to the pros. And there's something I'm sure that wow, that's pretty unique. That's pretty special. But God, through salvation, and we're not talking about enduring our personalities for 25 minutes this morning. We are saying in salvation, God is saying, I personally want you. I chose you to be with me forever. You talk about an eternal self-help group. It's salvation. Can you say amen? You know, Deuteronomy 7:6, regarding the nation of Israel, he says, for you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are on the face of the earth. And if you have ever met, not somebody in one of our churches, but a real Jewish person, they're pretty confident, man. I'm one of God's people. And you shouldn't mock that, because that is true. But Jesus brings it down through the words of Brother John for us in John 15 and 16. He says, you have not chosen me, but I rather have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask of my Father in my name, I will give to you. Now that really does change things a lot. Thank God he allowed us hearing his voice calling us. Thank God one of our friends, a witness to us, invited us to a concert or a movie or revival, or maybe even this morning. And if you're here this morning, you might be thinking it's your idea to be here. It's not. It was God's idea. And we did not choose him. He chose us. And I know we got some real smart fellas here, but I'm not ashamed to look you in the eye and tell you, God's smarter. He knows who to choose. So what that means, as we bring this through to have a little bit of fun before we pray, you didn't just stumble into a church, okay? You didn't just go through these problems or go through some failures. You didn't just meet somebody and, you know, stumble through the doors of a church or Christianity. We are a chosen people, brothers. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You just didn't find something, well, you know, the potter's house is different. We are different. But you just didn't stumble into something awesome or powerful. We are becoming the people of God. We're the men of God. We are the chosen of God. And God is saying, I delight in you. You are a very peculiar, a very special treasure to me. And you may feel other people don't notice, they don't care, and I'm not here to take sides with or for you or against you. But I am going to take God's side. He says, you are a very special treasure to him. And doesn't his opinion count the most? So if you don't lock this in to your personal manhood, you're going to face some trouble. You're going to face the insecurity. You're going to face the failure. You're going to face the obnoxious, loud personalities, which we have in our church. You're going to feel inadequate. You're going to feel underqualified. And if you do not lock away somewhere in your heart this morning, listen, I am chosen. God has called me, then you're going to have some real trouble. We're also going to look for a moment. Am I fired? Oh, I thought he was coming to fire me. One of those opera canes. Yeah. We also just need to look at the battle inside. You know, you can the gravy settling in, maybe now, you know, getting the warm fuzzies before you get gas. It's the, that, be of good cheer, that too will come to pass. But let's be real. In our fallen world, there is an element inside of us. Okay. But in being chosen, that means maybe I'm not chosen, right? Let's just say two guys looking for a job. One of them gets it. The other one doesn't. Two guys that want to get married. One of them gets married quicker. The other one doesn't. You know, if we're not careful, we can get these kind of knee-jerk reactions. I guess I'm talking to angels this morning. Because how many of you know you've ever felt that sting? That somebody else gets chosen. Somebody gets chosen at somebody else's expense. And if we're not careful, this could be true of success, favor, blessing, and you've got to learn to handle that feeling on the inside. Because the Bible's filled with it. Just a few to write down. Cain and Abel. Joseph and his brothers. Saul. You know, he's king. You know, and David just doing what he's supposed to be doing. And, you know, throws a spear at the guy. It's like, listen, I take requests. You don't like that song? No problem. But when they sang that song, it says, Saul eyed David in a different way from that day forward. And remember, it was Saul that called David into the palace in the first place. David didn't ask to be there. There's lots of things as a Christian man maybe you didn't ask for, but the real king is calling you and me into a greater position in his house. Hallelujah. Because there's a little battle, isn't there? Sometimes there's that little skirmish that could go off inside of us. It's called envy and jealousy. Here we go. Got real quiet. That someone can begin to, you know, think they're really special, they get blessed, or they get promoted, and that's a wonderful thing. But how many know right there, human nature kicks in? We begin to attack, or we begin to minimize. Hallelujah. That guy got some new shoes, man. I wonder how he paid for those. Bet he doesn't tithe. And you're laughing, and you can laugh all the way home today. But I want you to know that the devil will put all kinds of thoughts and things in your life. Ministry, different giftings. Well, man, those guys played 5 songs. We only got to play 3. Well, I've heard some of our groups, we ought to be thankful they let us play 1. No, come on. I've been in some places, and before Brother Bozo comes to preach, we're going to have special music, and I'm sitting there thinking, special Ed? out there. I said, you know, come on. The fact that we get to do anything in God's house, it's a blessing. But you see, the problem, as long as the other brothers in your little group, you know, your friend, as long as there's a little bit of mediocrity, it's all right. But woe to the brother who really feels God begin to put his hands on his heart. He begins to feel God's raising me up, and he begins to really want to go for it, because right there is where the battle begins. And I want to say this without any fear of any... I'm so glad you're sitting down. God wants us all to win. Okay? Your blessing is my blessing. His blessing is your blessing. It's not like God's favoring one over another. God wants every one of us to win. Amen. But yet in the fallen world, your blessing really begins to bug me. Can you say amen? Here in our text, these disciples are coming to John because Jesus is baptizing down the river. Now, when they first came to John, these guys are feeling pretty froggy. Hey, man, John, you're getting pretty, yeah. I don't know. If there was a TV, you'd probably be on it. You'd be on a book tour or something by now. Yeah, we're with John. That's right. John the Baptist. That's our pastor. Yeah, sure. We're with him. And I'm sure for a while these guys are feeling popular. They're feeling important. And all of a sudden, hey, who's that crowd down there? Well, that's that Jesus fellow. No, everybody's going to him. And so when they bring this news, you've got to understand, no matter what another brother is doing, no matter how well he's doing, it doesn't mean you are unchosen. Amen. That's what they're feeling. In the beginning, we're the chosen ones. We're with John. And now this guy, Jesus, comes onto the scene and he's baptizing and everybody's coming. Quoted, somebody said, envy is wanting to have what another person has and feeling very badly that you don't have it. Another said, envy is desire plus resentment. I desire what another has and I resent them having it. And envy is I want what you have. And if I can't have it, I don't want you to have it either. Anybody here ever studied law? Yes. I know I'm not going to ask anybody ever been in trouble with the law. You know? But when I'm putting this together last week, I came across very interesting statistics. You know, on the bar exam, these are the examinations that the lawyers of tomorrow will take. They are actually put together that would-be lawyers. They want to pass, but the people that put together the tests, they make it as difficult as they can so these would-be lawyers could pass. How many know that might be fine for lawyers, but it shouldn't be that way amongst us disciples? We should always be willing and wanting to see another brother promoted, helped, blessed, gifted. Can I get an amen? See, envy is that thing that can cause one of us to mourn in the midst of everybody else rejecting. All right, so closing before we pray. I think I smell gas. And that's killing the deadly vine. Okay, you know, going around the room would take, how do you kill envy and jealousy? Well, it's not going to be by coming through a prayer line. I wish I could tell you that's the way, but that's not true. We're here to tell the truth. And let's be real. If you've ever felt that way, I have. I hate that feeling of envy. Because I know deep down that brother, that person is where they are because they've done something that I can't do anyway. Maybe it's education. Maybe it's their job. It could be all kinds of things. And I've felt that through the years. I didn't get saved yesterday. I've pioneered. I've pastored. Tried to be a missionary. I felt that envy over a car, a different house, this kind of ministry, that gifting. I've been there. And I want you to know, I hate that feeling. And I know that feeling is wrong. Something has to happen in your walk with God. When I came back from the shortest ministry stint in the history of our fellowship in Federal Way, and I came back to Prescott and was under discipline for some time, I could have probably walked in under the pews. That's about how high I felt. But the amazing thing is, something happened to me during the discipline that needs to happen to you, even without discipline. I discovered who I am in my walk with God. That I'm not here to impress. I'm not here to compete. I just want to serve God. And the only way, brother, you are ever going to begin to get the victory over envy or jealousy, something has to happen inside of you with your walk with God. To realize who you are. To realize this morning why God chose you. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, or as God's chosen man, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. You will never be happy in your walk with God until you are confident He has called you to walk with Him. Hello? There'll always be that envy. There'll always be that competition. Here in verse 29, he says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. See, joyless people only think about what they don't have. And your joy is linked directly with who you are in God and knowing, despite your flaws, despite your fears, despite your failures, God chose you. I want to close with a true story I picked up on the plane. This guy says, I grew up knowing I was very different and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate. When I started grade school, my classmates made it very clear to me how I looked to others. I was a young man with a misshapen lip, a crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and bad speech. When the schoolmates asked me, what happened to your lip? I'd always tell them that I had fallen on a bicycle and cut it on a piece of glass because somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born this way. I was convinced that no one would love me outside of my family because I was so different. There was, however, a teacher in the third grade whom we all adored that changed my life. Her name was Miss Leonard. She was short, round, happy, a sparkling lady. In those days, every year, we had a hearing test. Some of us remember those? I do. Miss Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class. Finally, it was my turn, and I knew from past years how the test went. That as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher, sitting in her desk, would whisper something, and we would have to repeat it back. That was the hearing test. She would say things like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? Finally, my turn came, and the words that she said, God must have put in her mouth, because even those 7 words changed my life till today. Miss Leonard said in a whisper, I wish you were my little boy. And he said, that moment changed the rest of my life. You know, if Jesus could whisper something to you this morning, he would say, I want you to be mine. I want you to be with me. And I know there's a lot of things we can't accomplish. I know personally there were things I wished I didn't do, but I did. And either I'm going to spend the rest of my life regretting my mistakes, or I'm going to say, no, I'm forgiven. And I have been chosen, no matter whatever anybody else says. He chose me. And I'm on his team. And I'm thankful to be a part of you brothers in this church. And maybe you're going through some difficulties. Don't just think you stumbled through that door. You've been chosen. And God knows what is best to do. Let's bow our heads, please. Close our eyes. Sorry to keep you guys. There's probably a game going on somewhere. This morning, as we just pause for a quick moment in this place, I do so from the bottom of my heart. Thank Brother Anthony for allowing me this privilege. I'm gone a lot, and this last week, God really spoke to me and dealt with me. What I've been seeing in our fellowship and some of the churches, good men, great quality men, and yet the devil has been harassing, haranguing with guilt and shame and comparisons. Well, this morning, maybe you've come into this men's breakfast, and there's something far deeper going on inside of you. Yes, you know there's got to be more. Yes, you're ready. You're wanting a change. And yet you realize the truth. You can't do it on your own. Well, that's why he gave us a Savior. And the good news this morning is that we're all leveled. There's none better, none worse. We all need a Savior. And this morning is maybe you're here deep down inside. You know that you're not saved. Today you know you're not right with God, or you're backslidden. And you want to respond. He's chosen you to be forgiven. And that's you this morning, unsaved or backslidden. Would you lift up your hand, brother, quick, all over this place. Unsaved or you're backslidden. Just put your hand right up one time. No one's looking around. This is between you and God. Unsaved, backslidden. Just slip your hand right up so I can keep you in prayer. Put it right back down in Jesus' name. Thank God. Thank God. Then this morning, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I know life is not a game. I know we're not choosing odds and evens. I know we're not going A, B, A, B. But this morning, God's made a choice. And he chose you, brother. There are times I look at my life, God, why did you choose me? Some of those guys in school, they were so much smarter, so much more funny. They had all the, and it's not like God ever answered me. But I had to come to a conclusion. If God chose me, it gives me hope. It can give me a confidence that no matter what it is I'm facing, no matter what I've done or what I'm going through, God is with me. And I'm going to make it through to the other side. And I'm not expecting everyone, but there are many here this morning. Maybe you've been criticized. You've been mocked. You know, we do have a lot of fun in our church and our fellowship, it never should it be at another brother's expense. And there's some here this morning, you felt that hurt, you felt that sting of mockery and the coarse jesting, so to speak. And maybe the devil's been assaulting and mocking and criticizing you. And you realize, hey, listen, I may not be a lot of things, but one thing I am, I'm chosen. And I'm going to let God increase. I'm going to decrease. And this morning, God is talking to you, encouraging you that you are chosen. And He's speaking to you right now. I want you to lift your hand. Say, yes, God's speaking to me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank God for that. Thank God. Thank God. I want to ask us this morning if we could pray. I want you to say with me, Father in heaven, I do so very much thank you from my heart that you've allowed me to hear your voice calling me. Give me grace and strength, wisdom and endurance to do what's right. Father, thank you for choosing me to be your child. Give me grace and the strength to stand with my brothers. Cause our lives to be fruitful. I break every lie, every vain comparison. Right now, the blood of Jesus sets me free, and I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for just a moment, could we? Father in heaven, God, we do thank you so much. Mighty, mighty God. Thank you, Lord, so much. Thank God. Thank God. What a blessing. This week, be home. I look forward to my week home more than you could even probably imagine. What a great group of brothers we have here this morning. Thank God for each and every one of you. And I mean that. And you know, only God knows the future. We know the past, don't we? We know what we were. We know what we've done. We know the past. And only God, young man, knows the future. But He wants you to know He is in control of that future. Right will come out right. And the wrongs and those crooked things, God is going to make them straight. And He is going to cause your justice to shine forth as in the noonday. Do not be discouraged. Rejoice. God knows what He is doing. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord this morning some praise? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. How many love the Lord? A few of us? All right, that's good. He sure does love us. There you are. No, you look the other way. There you are. You know, just this last conference and getting out of the car and coming and going, just seeing you there, it's like the Holy Spirit was encouraging me to tell you, God Himself, sir, not you, not me, but God Himself places every single one of us into a body as He pleases. And He is well pleased, sir. And God wants you to know that this is not only a place where you belong, this is the place you're going to become. All that God has planned out for you, rejoice. God's blessing, His favor is on your life. Can we give the Lord some praise? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, Josh, as I was telling you, I made you that fine Bowman Brew cup of coffee yesterday or the day before. And I ran out the door, you had already gone. Because it wasn't the cup, it was what I wanted to say. God sees and God feels what it is you've been going through. You believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus, but never forget this part of Christianity, Josh. God became a man, and He knows what it feels like to feel lonely. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He knows what it feels like to have others say things that hurt our feelings. And through it all, God has something to say, and He is saying, keep on, for I am with you. Praise God. Let's give the Lord this morning praise. Thank you, Jesus, as our brother would come.
Praise God. We do appreciate that word from Brother Steve. Just take note, next month we have it on February 18th. It's going to be Dennis Wright bringing us a word. Real quick, let's give a hand to Brother Steve and also the kitchen crew. Anthony, Pete, we do appreciate all their work. Anthony heading this thing up. And man, we're going to be dismissed in prayer. February 18th is the one next month on that Saturday. If Rick Martinez could dismiss us in prayer. If you could help us clean up as well all your trash, and then we're going to pick up the tables as well. Steve.